Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we just want to lift you up and glorify you right now as being our Lord, our God, our King, our everything. We want to give you our best praise and our best worship on this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. We do not want to be distracted or consumed with the cares of this world or worrying about who here or who ain't, what nobody else is doing or what I am supposed to be doing. But God, we're simply going to concentrate on you, God. We're going to concentrate on you and cast all our cares at your feet, Lord, because we know that you care for us, God. We're going to give you all these things right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. So we're going to give you all these cares, these concerns, these worries, and these problems that we are carrying, God. These things puts us in a place of fear. So we're going to give you all this stuff right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we may be able to be free from the bondage of fear. So right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're going to write all these things down, God. We're going to put them on the altar, God. We're going to uproot some things in our thoughts, God. And we're going to give it all to you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because we know, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you are the great I am. We do not have to walk around in fear. We do not have to walk around in doubt. We do not have to walk around in hesitation. We do not have to walk around, Father God, in the name of Jesus, even in unbelief. Because, Father God, you sent your son Jesus that we may be able to be free from those things. Free from fear. Free from lost hope. Free from shame. Free from depression. So we're going to cast all our cares at your feet right now, Father God. Because we got our trust and our faith inside of you on this morning, God. So we're going to cast all these things down, God. Every worry and fear that we have concerning a bill, God. Every worry and fear that we have, God, concerning our personal lives. Every worry and fear that we have, Father God, in the name of Jesus, concerning our relationships, Lord. Every worry and fear that we have, Father God, in the name of Jesus, in our marriages. Every worry and fear that we have, Father God, in our homes. Every worry and fear we have on our jobs. Every worry and fear that we have in our finances. Every worry we have, Uncle Sunday, that I can see. We're going to give it to you now, God. We're emptying ourselves out right now, God, because we want to enter into that new place, that new territory, that new thought, because we know, Father God, that if we are in you, we have become new. Oh, God. So renew us in our minds on today, God, that we will not lean to our own understanding. Renew us in our hearts on today, God, that we will not have a hard heart. Renew us in our even in our speech on today, that we will not be speaking the old stuff. Jesus. Oh, God, I'm asking you to touch right now, God. Cover us in your blood and hide us behind your cross. Give us your strength and your peace, God. Be in our midst on today, Father God. Open up our hearts and our minds that we may be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Give us the wisdom, knowledge, and clarity in the way that you'll go see, and even the understanding, God. Because it's some things that we may not even understand why we got to go through it, why we got to be tested, and why we've been in that test for so long. But right now, God, I'm asking you right now, Father God, to endow us with your Spirit. And keep your angels in here, east, west, north, and south, from the roof to the very foundation around the entire perimeter. And keep your angels in here on today, Father God, and drench us in your blood. Wash us over. And let them take residence in here, God. Going down each and every last one of these pews, meeting our knees individually, because you know us by name. You know the very hairs on our head. You know what we need and what we don't need. You know what's best for us and you know what's not. So in the midst of you doing what you do, God, give us a heart of acceptance that we won't do what we think we should do. Jesus, do it even now, God. Do it even now, God, in the name of Jesus, because we need your help. We need you in any and every area of our lives on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we will not be prideful and haughty and stuck, Father God, that we will not continue, Father God, to compromise our salvation or walk in unbelief, because you said it's impossible to please you without faith. Help us on today, God. Help us, Father God, not to be deceived by what we see and what we hear, that it hinders us, Father God, from entering into what we should believe. What we should believe. And that's simply believing that you are just who you say you are. So we're going to walk by faith on today, God. And not by sight. Not by what we see. Help us on today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we put all these things at your feet, Father God, because we want to sup with you when we leave our Kosana, and we want to be in your presence, Lord. So as we empty these things out and as we put these things on the altar, God, I'm asking you to give your people that rest and assurance that they need, even in you, God. Put coals of fire on my tongue and burn up any and everything that's not like you. Give me what to say and how to say it to your people, that I may be able to help to win a soul, God. Let your wisdom be in this place on today. Your healing, your deliverance, and your freedom. Let it rest among the hearts of each and every individual that crossed that threshold. Oh God, I'm asking you to do it on today, because you know any and everybody that's here is coming, Father God, is on the way, and the ones that even desire to come and gain. Lord, I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you allow your word, Father God, and your power, your might, your spirit to flow through this place, God. Let your glory train be in here on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that your people may see that do it even now, God. Even now, God. Even now, God. In your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Jesus. There's so many times in our lives that we have a tendency of thinking and believing that a thing is not going to happen, or a thing is not going to be able to change because of what we see. And the things that we see causes us to go into a place of fear. When we go into that place of fear, it puts doubt inside of us. It puts nervousness inside of us. It puts things down in the inside of us that causes us to be stricken and even conflicted in our minds and even in our thoughts because of that fear. On Friday, the Lord says that we are supposed to release these fears and give these things unto him, that we may be able to break through some things. So these fears causes us to go into a place of degrading ourselves. What do you mean by that? When you degrade yourself, then you take yourself into a place in your mind that you look, believe, and think of lack and less than and not having enough. So, as the Lord been dealing with us for the last few weeks about fear, even before we came into the new year, he said that we ought to release all these fears. We ought to release all these things unto him because we trust him. We ought to release all these things unto him because we know who our Father is. Now, in knowing who our Father is, it causes our belief to be activated, because we know he's going to provide for us, because he said he did. He think of us more than the grass and the birds. So, why is our faith so wavering when he put us to a test? Why is our faith so doubtful when he tries us, when we speak a thing or we act as if we are there, when in actuality we are not? So he said, okay, well, let me see. Let me help them to see where they are, and then they have a choice to do it or not to do it. That choice can activate some things. It's either going to activate and elevate, or it's going to activate and deflate. Which one is it? See, that choice can activate and elevate your belief and your faith in him. Or that lack of trust can activate and deflate your confidence even the more, taking you to where? Fear, non-belief. And then we get to thinking in our mind and justify why we don't choose to do it. Well, I ain't going to do it because, Lord, you already know I need this. Or, Lord, you know I can't do it. So I can't. I need it. Okay, so you deflating your own. You stuck a pin in your own tire. You doing it to your own self because you want to justify your selfishness. You want to justify your lack of faith. You want to justify your greed and only worrying about you. Because if you weren't worrying about you, it wouldn't matter what he said or how he said it or how often he said it to you. You're going to choose to do in spite of what you see. So let me ask you something. What activation is you activating? Is it elevation or deflation? Because we do it to our own selves. That thing just ministered to me. I don't know about nobody. Because let me explain something to you. Fears, hopes, and sacrifices during the present. That's the name of the sermon. Fears, hopes, and sacrifices during the present. Fears, hopes, and sacrifices during the present. He been talking to us about these fears for the last few weeks, baby. And he dealt with us something good on Friday. And so in the midst of him dealing with us on something good on Friday, and we cast all that stuff, all these fears and all this stuff there. Then come Saturday, he want to test us. Huh? Right after service, he want to test us. Right, and then he want to see what I'm going to do. Come on, y'all. Let's go to the book of Genesis. I'm not tarrying because this thing was burning this morning in me. I was excited about this sermon because of the amazing grace. See, we don't want to think about the sacrifices that Jesus made for us. He gave his very life that we may be able to have life, and we don't want to sacrifice absolutely nothing for him. If the Lord said walk away from that man, we don't want to sacrifice being alone or even losing that joker because God. Come on, somebody. If he said don't call that person no more or don't do this no, we don't want to sacrifice that thing. And then when he said to us, we don't want to believe that it's him and all because of our emotional state. And then when somebody else come and tells me, oh, that ain't God. Oh, okay, then you're justified again because you have chosen to activate and deflate instead of activating to be elevated. God don't try us and test us for nothing. He trying to raise us up, y'all. Because the place and the territory that you in now, it can't contain what God put down inside of you. But because of your fears, what God put down inside of you is laying stagnated and cannot be birthed because of what? Your mental deflation of what you see and what you hear, which causes you to be hindered in what you believe. Because I do believe God. If you believe God, then good. Come on. From glory to glory to glory. Elevation to heaven. Tried and true. I keep telling y'all, tried and true. How do I know all this stuff? I know because God showed me. I know because he told me. I know because he read it. How about I know because I've been through. Y'all ain't getting it. Y'all ain't getting it. It's a man in the Bible called Abraham. This man in the Bible says that I may not understand what he's doing, but I'm going to do it anyway. Abraham, listen to me. Abraham was a man that walked by faith. The name of the sermon is Fears, Hopes, Sacrificing During the Present. Let me give y'all some history about Abraham. First and foremost, Abraham. Abraham lived in a pagan nation, and the Lord woke him up from being in a dead state, in his spirit man and in his vision. How did the Lord do that? Because the Lord said, I want you to come out from amongst them. I want you to leave any and everybody and everything that you know behind you. And I want you to get up and go. I'll tell you where to go. First and foremost, I know fear set in. Now, I done heard this voice. And it done told me to come out from all the people I know. Everybody I know, everything I know, and it's telling me to go somewhere, and I don't even know where I'm going. Because the Lord did not tell him everything at one time. Why did I say that? Because the Lord may not tell you everything at one time. The Lord may not tell you everything at one time. You may not be able to see everything at one time. So what you don't see, it causes you to be afraid because you don't have no control. Why you ain't got no control? Because I don't even know what I'm going to control, because I don't even know what's next. I don't know what's coming. I don't know how I'm going to get this. I don't know how I'm going to replace this. I don't know how this is going to come back. I don't know what this is going to do. I don't need, you think fear just messes you up. It just messes you up. Now, why fear, hope, and sacrifice? Okay. I'm Abraham. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do it because my hopes is in him. Whatever it is, I'm just going to go ahead and go. So I'm going to sacrifice being around my family. I'm going to sacrifice being around the people that I know. He said he's taking me somewhere. He want me to go somewhere. First and foremost, Lord, where you want me to go? And it's silent. But he packing up everything because he choosing to be what? Elevated. Instead of deflated. Because that deflation comes from what? Fear, doubt, hesitation, compromising, the unknown and the unseen. And what we need to realize and understand is the unknown, the unseen, and the unheard is where God gets the glory. I'm going to say that again. Y'all ain't get it. The unknown, the unseen, and the unheard is where God gets his glory. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because you don't know. You ain't got no way. You didn't use up all your resources, avenues, revenues. Can't go to nobody. Can't call nobody. You can, and you just don't know. And then all of a sudden, something never heard of, and something was unknown because you didn't know it. So you never heard of, and nothing you never even thought. And then it happens, and you be like, "I know that was God. That's how he get his glory." In the unknown, because they still don't know why I'm walking around today. When they said I was fit to die, they still don't know why I ain't twisted up and on the cane or whatever. Because, and it, see, fear, hope, and sacrifices during the presses intertwines all together to let you know this right here. Listen. Listen, it's Abraham. Listen.
I am the creator. I am the maker of the universe. I am the one who spoke into nothing. And all
I could speak into nothing and I could make something.
I am he.
Y'all gotta pay attention.
Has all power.
He holds it all in his hand. Or that person or that situation that you don't want to sacrifice for him, he got enough power to take it all. Now, make it just all just that we talking about God. We talking about God, y'all. That we want to justify about that selfish, that key. Or Lord, I want to make sure that I did. Well, Lord, you told me to do this. Now you're telling me to do that. Okay. Let me. I got the pause just for a minute. How do God get his glory? By what you don't know. What you don't see, what you don't understand, what you can't hear, the unknowing. And yet, that fear of that unknown should not hinder your hope in God. That even in the midst of your hope, you won't mind, you don't care, and you ain't here. The sacrifice. He had me to preach a sermon. What are you going to sacrifice for the Lord? We're afraid to sacrifice any and everything for him. If he tell each and every last one of us right now to empty our bank accounts and give him every dime we got, what you going to do? Is you going to sacrifice it? Is you going to believe God? They just money hungry. They just want to... I don't get paid for this first and foremost. And the way people pay their tithes and their offering, they sure can't pay none of my bills. God does that for me. The money that come in comes for these bills, because don't nobody even have a clue what this little space costs. So, the name of the sermon: fears, hopes, and sacrifices during the pressing. We talking about Abraham. Abraham was called out from amongst some people. He was called to go to a place where he didn't even know where he was going. And in the midst of him going there, he didn't know how he was going to be provided for. He didn't know where he was going to sleep. He didn't know what he was going to eat. He didn't know what God, he didn't know whether it was going to be a land of fruitful or a land of plenty or a dry place. He didn't know if it was going to be a lot of water or no water. He did not know. All he knew is that he did not allow his fear to blind him from that hope. And sacrificing it all. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Abraham ain't had no kids. He had hope in God. First of all, he was afraid he wasn't going to have no kids by the very woman that he loved the most, his wife. He was afraid it wasn't going to ever happen for him. And God gave him some hope and said, okay, yeah, it's going to happen. Now, in the midst of him hoping in that thing, and when God gave him that hope, he still stood and believed it, even though it did not happen when he wanted it to happen. It did not happen for years. It did not happen for years before it took place. And in the midst of it taking place, he loved them. He loved them. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. I'm going to read a story to y'all. Genesis chapter 22. We're going to start at the top, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and tested him and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and claimed the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Y'all got to pay attention because on the third day, Jesus rose from that. You know what? I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me finish. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood. Now, mind you, I got to say this because it's heavy on me. The Bible says that God sent his son Jesus to die for us. And in the midst of him dying for us, God had to prepare him for his crucifixion. And so he knew that it was certain acts and certain things that he had to do in order to prepare himself mentally. Okay? See, it's a lot of times that we have to prepare ourselves mentally in order to receive some things. If we don't prepare ourselves mentally, we won't accept it. And if we can't accept it, we won't receive it. So Jesus, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that before his crucifixion, he took a couple of his disciples with him to the Garden of Gethsemane and told them, wait right here. Pay attention to what he got me reading, y'all. Wait right here. And when I come back, just pray with me. Tarry for me. Tarry with me, and when I come back, then y'all can go to sleep. Okay? So he went up on the Garden of Gethsemane and he started praying and he started praying. What did Abraham do? The Bible says that he took a couple men with him. And in the midst of it, he said, Y'all wait right here. See, Abraham had to prepare. So I could just see him walking with his son with that wood on his back, talking about, Oh Lord, you finna make me sacrifice of everything that I love the most. You the son that I never thought I was gonna get. The son that I never thought that I was going to have. You told me to sacrifice that very thing. The name of the sermon today, you guys, is Fears, Hopes, and Sacrifices During the Pressing. Because we'd be afraid of stuff and we may not even want to admit it. So I'm going to start from the top. I want y'all to relate to this story and compare it to the story of Jesus. Because it's all intertwining. This was the first. He had to send the second, which is Jesus, in order for us to be able to be here today. And it came to pass after these things that God did tell Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and claimed the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went upon the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, And he said, Here am I, my son. Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering. This is the preparation, y'all. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on an altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now, listen, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and has not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast what? Obeyed my voice. I want y'all to ponder on that while I play the song, and then I got some things to say. So many times in our lives that we have a tendency of thinking and believing that a thing can't happen, or it won't happen because God want me to do something. If God tell you right now to empty out every single dime that you have and give it to him, will we actually sacrifice that because of what he said? Will we obey what thus said the Lord? It's a lot of times in our lives and in our hearts that fear have a tendency of overtaking us, and it overtake us because of what we see and what we hear, or what we believe and what we think. Now, what are you trusting in? Is you trusting in God, or is you trusting in your bank account or what you see? Is you trusting in that money that you know is coming? Because if you go to work and you punch that clock, you know it's a guarantee that they're going to give you a paycheck. So is you trusting in that guarantee, in that paycheck that you think? Is, do you actually think and believe that that paycheck is going to suffice what you need to be provided for? What are you sacrificing unto God? Is you sacrificing what, your time, your money? Is you say, if the Lord tell you right now to walk away from that man or walk away from that woman, is you going to sacrifice that thing? Do you have the kind of faith that Abraham have? The Bible told Abraham to sacrifice the only child that he had. Not only is this the only child that he had, before he even conceived that child, he was in a place of fear that he wasn't going to even have a child. So that fear, allow him to hope because of what God told him to do. And what did God tell him to do? The Lord told him to sacrifice, knowing any and all his people. I want you to come out from among. I want you to go somewhere where I'm going to show you where to go. And is that fearful? Let me. If the Lord tell you right now to pack up any and everything that you got, your kids and everything that you got, and leave this place. And I'm going to tell you where to go. Is you going to be afraid to do it? Because you don't know where you're going first and foremost. So you start packing. And then in the midst of you packing, you put all your stuff in your car and you start driving, but you're clueless. Is that scary? I mean, just real talk. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you do. You don't even know what you're going to do next because you done told me to leave. Now I ain't gonna quit my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. What? Fear, hope. So in the midst of it, your hope is being activated past your fear because you did it. In the midst of you doing it, what did you sacrifice? Leaving everything that you know. Leaving everybody that you know. Leaving your comfort zone. You sacrificing that comfort zone. You sacrificing that place where you are most comfortable and feel secure. You know. So in the midst of it, you going and you ain't got no kids. You say, okay, Lord, I want some kids. Now, you didn't promise me that I was going to have some kids, and I just ain't had no kids, and it's been so many different other years, and you didn't told me now I'm going to have some kids. I still ain't had no kids, and it's been 20 years. Come on now. And I'm getting old. Ain't nobody going to want me in a minute. I'm going to have some kids. I'm doing what And then he comes and tell you again. He say, I ain't forgot what I told you. I say, you going to have some kids. You going to have some kids. And so now I'm like, okay, God, now you got jokes. I'm home. I don't even get that. I'm dried up. Can't even get a thing. I'm old. So, what? He said, do you believe me? Do you just believe what I'm telling you? I'm believe you because you already got me out here and I don't know nobody and you did everything that you said you was going to do. So I'm going to believe you. And then so all of a sudden, whoop, here come a baby. And then after you had that baby, he tell you to kill. Now, God, what? You got jokes again? Why you always coming joking? Is you serious? You want me to kill my baby? The one that I was scared I wouldn't have. Now, you gave them to me. You're trying to take them from me? Okay. Fear, hope, and sacrificing during the present. So in the midst of it, what did he do? He took that little boy and he was fit to sacrifice him. And in the midst of him getting ready to sacrifice him, the Lord said, wait a minute, hold it. Hold it. You chose to be elevated instead of deflated. Y'all missed that part because y'all was late. He gave us a revelation about elevation and deflation. So, when the Lord asks us to do something, we may not be able to understand why he wants us to do it. We may not even understand why is he asking us to do it when he knows our situation and our circumstance. We may not even be able to understand why. Lord, come on now, Lord. You know that's totally. Come on now, God. How many times y'all done went in? Well, let's talk about it then. Because the Lord done told me to say certain other things in a point in my life. I was like, now, God, come on now. I remember the Lord told me. That's what he told me. He said, I was in this relationship with this individual and we were going to get married. And we had been together, I want to say, at least 5 or 6 years. And in the midst of it, you know, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking and going on different. The Lord, let me tell y'all about God. First, this is what he said to me. He said, you got to choose. I say, choose. Choose one. Acting like I'm dumb. No, no, I'm dumb. He said, you're going to have to choose. It's either me or him. I say, Lord. I said, now you already told me that I was going to get married. You said, he said, yeah, I did, but I didn't tell you I was going to let you marry him. He said, let me enlighten you. He said, this individual will never change. Neither do he desire to change. And he's going to die in his sin. He said, so I want you to walk away from him. Because where I'm taking you, he can't go. I said, okay, Lord. So I said, you know, I'm speaking at church tonight. You coming? He said, yeah, I'll be there, baby. I said, okay. And so in the midst of me speaking in church, the Lord had me to tell all my business from fornicating with the men, pointing them out, had me to tell all my foolishness. And then the Lord say, now bring him to the altar. He said, I'm going to prove something to you. And then so in the midst of me talking, one of the bishops, and it was about four or five bishops there, one of the bishops went down into the audience and grabbed him by his hand and told him, because I didn't want him to be embarrassed. So the Lord told me to tell him to come to the altar, but I didn't. Because I didn't want to sacrifice my relationship with him, because I didn't want to be mad at me. Y'all got to listen to the story, y'all. Y'all listen to the story. And so he sent the bishop down there. And the bishop went and grabbed Nathaniel by his hand and told him to come to the altar. And in the midst of him coming to the altar, they started speaking in his life. And all four of the bishops that was in the pulpit, one got in the back, one got in the front, one got on the right hand, one got on the left hand side. I'm steady talking. Now the Lord's steady talking. Now in the midst of him talking, he got me talking about me and him and my mess. Why they praying for him? Baby, they in warfare for that man's soul. Do you hear what I say? And he was standing up there, all puffed up. I'm like, oh, and the Lord showing me all the time, he ain't breaking. Because he already told me that he finna show himself. He's standing up there, all puffed up and all this and this. So after they got through praying and everything, and he was just standing there. He was just standing up there by himself now. And then I backed up. And when I backed up, the Lord had me to say some other things. And in the midst of the Lord had me saying some other things, I said, now the Lord told me to choose. And then I didn't even look at him. I just walked up there. The Lord told me to choose. I didn't want to choose because that was my boo. That was my baby. I love Nathaniel. And I know he loved me. Okay. So then when the service was over and everything, he was waiting for me, and I was talking to all the people, you know, how they may go after church and everything. And so he waited for me so that he could drop me off at home and stuff. And so... Oh Lord. When we got to my house, I said, you coming in? He said, nope, I'm going home. I said, why you ain't coming in? He said, nope, I am going home. I ain't fit to touch you. I ain't fit to be, He said, I'm going home. So he left and he went home. And in the midst of him going home, the Lord says, you still don't see, do you? I say, see what? Lord, I'm just fit to be honest with you because you know I already told me that. The Lord said, I'm going to prove it to you. He said, I'm going to prove to you that you have to choose. You ain't got no other choice but to choose. And so a couple days went by, and then he finally came over, and in the midst of him coming over, he got to ask him, you know, I ain't ready to do this church stuff like you. I just... You know, because I experienced something that I ain't never experienced before. And I ain't even know that you was deep like that. And I, you know, because he knew I was saved and all that, but he did not know the truth because he never saw me preach. He never, you know, saw me pray for nobody. And so I told him, I said, well, that's the Lord. I said, and he could change you. He can, you know, he was like, I'm good. He said, I'm good. And so that night, I was up all night. He was like, you ain't come to get in the bed? I said, no, I'm good. I'm good. Well, what's wrong with you? You acting all strange. I said, no, you don't get it. I said, you go home. Go back home. So he got on up there. I don't know what's all that. And went on home. And so in the midst of it all, the Lord said, I'm going to prove it to you. He said, get up. Get in your car. And I'm finna take you to him. Because he didn't go home. And he took me straight to him. And then this is what he said. He said, see, I asked you to choose me. In the midst of him choosing, he chose what he wanted. And it was not a life with the Lord. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I choose you. And so in the midst of it all, I still, look, you could say that you choose God and want to be obedient and sacrifice it all for him, but in your heart, you really not. Because if a circumstance or a situation arises concerning that thing that he told you to choose, concerning that situation, that person, or that circumstance, what you gonna do? See, these are the kind of tests that helps us to be tried and true towards God. It ain't that God is trying to give you a hard task. He just wants you to see what's really in your heart and not in your thoughts. Because our thoughts can lead us one way, but our heart is the true way. Let me prove it. How many times you get emotionally messed up or angry and you say something or you do something because you mad at your lover or your friend or your husband or your wife or the situation? And then when it's all over with, this tells the truth. I really didn't mean that. I ain't mean to say that, or I ain't mean to do that. See, our mind and our thoughts would lie concerning our emotional state, but our heart always tells the truth. How many times you done been mad and told folks that you hate them, but really you love them? I even told this man before, I hate, I love you. What the world? I hate, I love you. Because you keep doing this and you keep doing that, and I love you and I keep taking it. I hate, I love you. Emotional instability. But I don't want to sacrifice anything that you are offering me, even though I hate the way you treat me. Even though I hate what I'm going through, even though I hate what I'm experiencing, I don't want to sacrifice that. So what do? I choose to deflate. Let me speed y'all up with that. Okay. The Bible says that God is not a God of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Fear do not allow us to have a sound mind. Fear do not allow us to recognize the power of God. Fear do not allow us to see that he loves us enough and he had a power that he can handle it and take care of it all. Our fears hinder us from being elevated. Our fears hinder us from being elevated to a higher place in God. Our experiences causes us to get into a place of fear that hinders us from being elevated. So we can choose. We can choose to be elevated or deflated. How can we choose to be elevated? Because of our choice. Our choice of what? Belief. In who? God. Our belief can either be elevated or it could deflate. Elevation means it's taking you to a higher place. I'm finna prove it. I'm all way ahead of myself. Now I gave y'all a story. Let's go to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Now I done gave y'all my story. I gave y'all a story in the book. And I'm finna prove something to y'all today. Because elevation and deflation is a choice that we can make in the activation of our faith in God. Fears, hopes, and sacrifices during the pressing. Is you when you're in the midst of going through something or experiencing something, baby, it's hard to press through some things, especially when you see or you know it ain't nothing else that you can do about it. And baby, the one thing that we fear the most, besides not being loved, is being in control. Baby, if things are all out of our control, we get all discombobulated, we get mad, we get angry, and we get afraid because we have no control of it. And that fear causes us to get into a place of even more fear because we are not in control because of what? I don't know what's going to be next because I can't control the situation. Neither can I do anything about it. So that fear overtakes us. It overtakes us and it put us in a place, why? Of the unknowing. Because I don't know what's next. I don't know what I need to do next. I don't even know how to do it. I can't even figure out what to do. So fear of not knowing. Fear of not knowing causes us to be deflated. It activates deflation. Fear activates deflation. Fear activates deflation. And what is deflating? Your hope, your belief, your trust, your knowing, your understanding. It'll deflate your understanding. That fear deflates your understanding because you can't understand why you scared in the first kind of big place. I don't even know why. How many times we talking about it then? I don't know how many times. I don't even understand why I'm afraid of losing that nigga. He ain't about Jack. I don't even understand why I even love him. And then after years go by, you look back. I don't even understand why I loved him. What the world was I thinking? But what was activating the deflation in me at that moment and at that time? We think that the choice that we made deflated us. Or if I hadn't did this or if I hadn't did that, then I know I would have been a no, 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 no. If you hadn't did that and if you hadn't went through that, then you would not have learned what you learned so that you won't do it again. For the Bible says that we learn from our experiences, and our experiences is for what? Our learning. So is that not elevation? We deflate it. How do we deflate it? Because we don't understand it. We don't understand it, so we deflate it. I don't believe that's God. Oh, how many times we done said that? I don't believe that. That ain't nothing but the devil. Nope, that's God testing you. I know the devil get tired of us. Blaming him and accusing him. He supposed to be the chief accuser, but who really is, though? Is it us? Because we always accusing the devil. You know what? The Lord say, have we ever really pondered that? I'm not going to even blame the devil. Maybe it's some God trying to show me. No, God is taking you to a higher place in him. I'm going to prove it. Philippians. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. What do apprehended mean? Apprehended means to become aware of or perceive. To apprehend something is to grasp with understanding and recognize the meaning of. To apprehend is to have a clear idea of. How many times you got a clear idea of what you done went through, or why you going through it, or is this the right time, or is the one, I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time? No, you in the right place at the right time at the right moment, because you may not understand it, or you may not have that clear idea. So I'm going to say, I don't pretend that I understand this mess, but what I do know, if I choose to activate my belief in God, this mess is going to cause me to be elevated instead of deflated. But I got to choose it. So in my choice, it may cause me to have to sacrifice that relationship, to have to sacrifice and say no, to have to sacrifice and say, okay, I'm walking away this time for real, for real. It may put me in that place of saying, you know what, Lord, I may not understand why you want me to get my last $300, but I'm going to go in and get my last $300. You know what, Lord, I don't understand why you want me to go over there and help them when I know they don't like me. But so I ain't going to pretend that I understand why you got me doing it. But I'm going to choose to do it. And in my choice of doing it, I'm not going to do it grudgingly. I'm not going to do it spitefully. I'm not going to do it, let me say this, in expectation for you to do something for me. Because what did he sit up here and say to Abraham? He said, because you sacrificed and withheld nothing from me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you on top of blessing you. I'm going to multiply you on top of multiplying you. I'm going to start doing some things. Didn't I tell y'all that God is the kind of God that like to subtract some things, multiply, divide? That baby, he'll divide some things and some people and some situations from you so that he can give you a multiplication in your life. Because everybody cannot be part of what God is doing for you, in you, and through you for his purpose all the time. Any and everybody cannot be tagged alone. There's some ball and chains that we dragging behind us because we desire that everybody get a piece of the pie. Everybody want a piece of the pie. They'll kill, steal, and destroy you for it. But they ain't going to sacrifice nothing on their behalf to simply let it go. But they'll sacrifice to get it. There's a difference. It's a difference. It's a difference. So I'm not fit to sit up here and say I apprehend it. I'm not fit to say that I understand why God do all this stuff and do it. But what I will say is, Lord, it don't feel good all the time. And I don't want to go through it, but nevertheless. Nevertheless. What do nevertheless mean? I ain't got to do nevertheless. Just what it say, nevertheless. See, we don't want to walk away from this or don't want to stop this or don't want to sacrifice that. Don't you know that you selling for the less? God say nevertheless. Because in you sacrificing that thing, that situation, that money, that house, that car, that man, that woman, that child, that boy, that job, it does not matter what it is. He say, because you did not withhold it and because you obey me. Here, take this and take that and take a cup. Just because you say, okay, Lord, all right, God. He'll say, you know what? I'm not going to just bless you. I'm going to bless and bless. And I'm going to keep blessing. Not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to bless any and everything that's attached to you. I'm going to bless your family. I'm going to bless your seeds. I'm going to bless their seeds. And then I'm going to multiply. In the midst of me blessing, I'm going to multiply. So while he blessing you, guess what he say he going to do? Add to it. And keep adding to it. Until he add to it to your people, to your family, to your children, to your children's children, to your children's children's children. Hold some sand in your hand. You can't count all them. And that's just a handful. He says, I am going to multiply you as the sands on the sea. That's a whole lot of sand.
Oh, Jesus.
Lord, give us a heart of accepting the sand on the sea, Jesus. Give us a heart to accept the multiplication that you want to apply to our lives, Lord, instead of us being selfish and justifying and don't want to sacrifice nothing from you, God, because you sacrificed it all when you died for us that we can get the multiplication. He said, I came that you may have life and have it in an abundance. That abundance is the multiplication, ain't it? That abundance is the freedom. So I don't want you just to be free and know that you're free. I want you to stay free. So you're going to be free from shame, free from embarrassment, free from fear, free from, y'all getting it? That's a, is that multiplying? That's a multiplication chart right there. You get that? He's a God of numbers, y'all. He's a God of numbers. Look, then I got stuck right there, didn't I? Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, this is what I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he gave you some promises, right? That's that prize, baby. I promise I'm going to give you long life. I'm pressing towards that long life. Shoot, that don't mean that I'm going to stop drinking soda and get kidney disease. That don't. Is you going to sacrifice that soda for? Come on, y'all. I'm talking in every area of my lives. I mean, it's always a sacrifice that's going to come with you being elevated. You cannot be elevated without sacrificing. The Bible says, once he got ready to sacrifice his son, God called on him and told him, do not touch his son. And in the midst of it, the Bible says, he lifted up his eyes. If he had not ever been lifting up his eyes, he would not ever seen that God got a ram in the bush. So that one thing that you don't want to give, that one sacrifice you don't want to make, your ram still caught in the thicket. Your blessing still stuck. Your multiplication ain't being multiplied. Are y'all getting it? Fears, hopes, and sacrifices doing the pressing. Sometimes you got to sacrifice yourself and be quiet. I'm a sacrifice from giving a response and acting ugly today. Oh, okay. Since you did that, I'm going to bless you. How's you going to bless me just by being quiet? I'm going to bless you and teach you meekness. We always want stuff. Because I sacrificed and shut my mouth, now you teaching me how to be meek and lowly? Oh, that's a good tool to have. Why? Because we it's part of the fruits of the Spirit. My meekness and lowliness that God has multiplied on me because I sacrificed my tongue from speaking venom or some foolishness. Then not only is he teaching me meekness and lowliness, he giving me one of the fruits of the Spirit, kindness. I'm going to be more kind. Oh, wait a minute. He's teaching me how to be more temperate. Having patience. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm sacrificing and I'm not thinking, oh, you know what? I can't believe they just said that and did that to me. Now my thoughts run wild and I know not only is he telling me to be quiet, but my thoughts is going, my thoughts are no. In the midst of you being quiet, I'm helping you with your thoughts that you can think on things that are good and lovely. So why that person acting or treating or doing something, because of your quietness, God has given you a meek, lowly in a spirit of temperance, your thoughts is going to shift and you're not going to be thinking evil because they speaking evil and acting evil. You're going to be like, Lord, touch them in their mind and they are God. Because you said you turned us back into our original state, God, which is good. Let your goodness flow in them. Let it. You see, we always think it's stuff. Okay, so I'm sacrificing. You know, I'm not going to be so quick to run to get some get back. You did it to me, I'm going to do it right back to you, if not worse, because I know just what to do, how to get you. By you not doing that, the Lord is teaching you, be patient, let me get them. And then you sitting there, and then because your mind changed, because you didn't already close your mouth, he's multiplying and elevating you, and now you, Lord, have your mercy on them, God. Don't kill them, Jesus. Lord, show them. You see what I'm saying? This is all goes along with the pressing. Listen to this. I'm going to forget the way that I used to act. I'm going to forget the way that I used to think. Now, you know what? I used to always say in my heart and in my mind, you know what the Lord told me to sacrifice $300. I just keep hearing $300, y'all. And the Lord keeps saying, $300. He keeps saying $300. So I'm going to sacrifice that. And in the midst of me sacrificing that $300, Lord, I'm not going to think the way that I'm going to put those things behind me the way that I used to think. I don't know. And what did I used to think? Lord, if I sacrifice this $300, I don't know how I'm going to get it back or when I'm going to get it back or how I'm going to replace it, because you know that I need to do this and you know that I need to do that, and I got to pay this bill and I got to pay that bill. And Lord, I got to do such and such and such. And Lord, can I do just that? So when we get into that place, your mind start changing. And you start, what did he say? He named that place Jehovah Jireh. What that mean? My provider. He said we're supposed to worry about where we're going to eat, where we're going to sleep, where we're going to drink. We're supposed to worry about all those things. He ain't created us to worry. That's not why he created us. You know you got to be important if he killed his own son for you. What make you think he going to take care of you? Lord, because you said you was going to provide for me and they done cut my water off. Okay. How about I'm trying to teach you some things? Because before the Israelites, Moses smote that rock and they got some water out of it. They was walking through the wilderness stinking, baby. No water to drink or even to wash with. They was in a dry place. The only water they saw was that water that was up in the Red Sea. And that was something scary. Are y'all following me today? Lord, you got my water. Lord, you said you was going to provide for me and my water cut off. If you hungry and thirst after me, you will never be thirsty. I may be trying to get you to go on the fast. What you want me to fast from? I may be trying to teach you not to have pride. Girl, they cut my water off. Can I come over there and take a shower? You too embarrassed to tell somebody they cut your water. And in the midst of you and putting down that pride, I need to come over there and take a shower. Can I come? Girl, yeah, you can come over in the midst of it. You bet. How much is your water bill, girl? I got you. You never know. You never know what God is doing for you in the midst of your present. You may be able to be that fears. I'm afraid to ask you, can I use your shower? Why are you afraid to ask when they cut your water off? Why? Because that's embarrassing. Girl, I'm not going to be on funk mode. I'm not. Well, I can go to my sister. I can go to my. And lo and behold, you ain't finna tell them your business because they finna show talk about you. So you just gonna go over there and fake it. Got your clothes in. You know what? I need to do something. I've been out ripping and running all day and I knew I wasn't gonna make it back home. Can I use your shower right quick? Just faking at it. They don't care because they're your sister, your brother. Go ahead. But they don't know your water. So what you gonna fake at it tomorrow too? And the next day. And the next day. Now you ain't even got no money to go buy a gallon of water. Lord, you said you was going to provide for me. And you was going to give me all my needs. I'm giving you what you need. You need to put that pride down. You need to. Okay, Lord. Now you done told me, God, that I ain't got to worry about this and I ain't got to worry about that. Now you know I need a job because I ain't got no money. I say that the earth is mine and the fullness thereof and everything there was, the silver and even the gold, man. I'm the one that allows y'all to have the wisdom to even make the money out of my stuff. What, the trees? What are we going to sacrifice? What are we actually sacrificing all for the sake of it all? All for the sake of it all. We don't want to sacrifice absolutely nothing. Why? Why we don't want to sacrifice? We afraid to. We don't want to lose that man, that woman, that boy, that child, that house, that car, that job. I remember when the Lord told me to quit that job. Now, Lord, why are you telling me to quit that job? Because they pay me really good every week. And you know I got 2 kids. Now, you know my family ain't doing nothing for me. They don't love me. And I need this job. Why are you telling me to quit that job? And you don't hear nothing. He don't answer you. Okay, Lord. I quit the job. And when I quit the job, I say, Lord, however you provide, I'm just going to trust you. And it was not even 3 days later, I got a phone call for an offer for another job that paid me double that. And back then when my kids was little, my daughter was only 5, she's 36 now, getting paid $500 a week after taxes was a lot of money. So I was getting paid double that on one job after taxes. So he said, I will bless you because of that choice you made. I elevated you in your faith in me. How did God elevate me in his faith? This is why I got so much faith in God. I got enough faith in him for me, you, him, her, they, we, all of us. Why? Because I simply just believe God. It's not just because of something I read, but because of something that I experienced. I know that God is a healer because he healed me from so many different things, even from paralyzation and confusion in my mind. I know God is a provider because I did not even know where, how, or when, what I was going to sleep, eat, or do anything for me and my kids. And yet, he provided for me. Strangers was even putting gas in my car when I was just putting $3 in there because this is all I had. I mean, this complete stranger walked up to me. And when he walked up to me, he says, the Lord told me to fill your tank up. Just like that. I just bust out crying. Because I had number $3, I'll never forget it, at a mobile gas station in Michigan on Ford Road and Beach Daily. I'll never forget it. I remember the Lord had me to welcome to this lady and give her a word. I was at the gas station again, and in the midst of me giving her a word, that lady blessed me. And I was crying. I said, no, I'm just doing what the Lord says. She's saying, me too. Now take it. Now, mind you, she didn't even know I needed it for to get a room for another week for me and my son to stay in. Didn't know. But because I choose to be obedient and I sacrificed them looking at me like I'm crazy. Now, Lord, you told me to go over there and tell these people this. Okay, I'm going to sacrifice my comfort and baby, I don't know what religion you is and I don't know what, but I got to tell you what thus said the Lord. And I told him what the Lord said, baby, then he blessed me. Not knowing where the blessing was going to come or how it was going to come, because people and the folk don't know. Just like I don't know them, they don't know me. They don't know. God will provide. Why? Because if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And that does not mean that you're going to be laboring all your life to eat the good of the land. Did you hear what I say? Did you hear what I say? So don't think because I'm not doing this or I'm not doing this or this not happening this way and that's not happening that way. It's okay to sacrifice and not worry your handsome head about how you going to do this and how you going to do that for to make this work and for to make that work. Sacrifice. What you going to sacrifice? your peace. I'm going to have peace on today. I ain't going to even worry about this on today, baby, because I'm just tired of thinking about it, and I can't figure it out. Sacrifice you trying to work it out and let God do it. Take your hands off of it. You're doing too much. Trying to make everything fall into place. When they already fall into place, did you notice when you stop worrying, things start falling into place, now you trying to make it hurry up? What you in a hurry for? She just put her head down like, what you in a hurry for? You ain't got to be in a hurry about nothing. You know, I just saw him like, you worrying your own self for nothing. Because once he done did all he could do and he can't do nothing else, he can't hurry up nothing. So he got to sit still. As soon as you sit still, then that's when stuff start working out. Take your hands off of it. Step back. Move to the side, please. And let God be God and you stop being you. And stop being in the world. She said be anxious for nothing. It's all going to happen. Everything you ever told me, have been coming to pass. So if it's coming to pass, what you rushing it for? Because it's a time and a season for every purpose. It's a reason why it ain't happened right now like you wanted to happen. I want to go in and get it over with. I'm okay. Get what over with? And then you want to get the next thing over with. And then the next thing over with. And then the next. Just stop. Just a busy little bee. I just see you sitting in front of the computer. What you trying to work out, baby? Don't tell me. I just see him in front of the long hour. I know you get sick and tired. Baby, come on to bed. Baby, because he ain't listening to you. Because he want to work it out. And then your head hurt. Eyes blurred and running water. Just tired. Sacrifice the computer. Don't get on it for 3 days. I dare you. She said, child. 3 days. You can do it 3 days. No, okay. You're going to sacrifice the computer for 3 days. You do know in sacrificing that computer for 3 days, you do know that you can't do nothing because you can't live without your computer. You don't think you can't get nothing done without that computer. 3 days. Whitney, tell on me. Take it with you to work. Load it up in the car. 3 days. Still take while you work. He couldn't get. Y'all got more than one computer. Okay. Three days. 3 full days starting tomorrow, 6 a.m. 3 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You can't get on the computer until Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Not 5:59. And get some peace. That means not even working on your phone. I'm going to walk away on that one. Because it ain't just the computer, it's the phone. Did you hear what I say, baby? 3 days. Can you not touch your phone for 3 days? Because she worked from home. For 3 days, can you not take your phone? Give me your phone. Let me hold it for 3 days. Turn it on. Yeah. And I'll bring it to you. You got my number? Yeah, here, let me give it to you, baby. Turn it off. Shut it down. Ooh. 3 days. You off for 3 days. Ha! No computer and no phone. Disconnect. This is your sacrifice. This is your sacrifice. What y'all gonna sacrifice today? not just unto the Lord, because we get so wrapped up into our stuff, our everyday lives, our thoughts, and don't do no hair for 3 days. That's my money, powerful. You know I ain't got no jaw. Did you? You ain't see her face. I wish his phone was on. I took a picture. I say don't do no hair for 3 days. She say, look, 3 days starting tomorrow, 6 a.m. Because you make a lot of money in 3 days. 3 days. Pastor say, I ain't saying nothing to Lord. Why y'all always putting this on me? Let me put his phone. Oh, why y'all putting it on me? What you gonna sacrifice? What are you gonna sacrifice? 3 days. Okay. You got 3 days to not do no hair. I know a lot of people that you know. So you can't sing. You know you can't lie to the Holy Spirit. You better ask Ananias and Sapphira. You know about them. They dropped dead when they tried to lie. Come on, you know. Your daddy a pastor. You know. 3 days. He over there. You having withdrawals now. Go get him some water, please. Get some water. Get some water. He thinking like, dog, she said tomorrow at 6. Well, I got to get out today. Because he got to prepare. What he had me to say. Sometimes he got to prepare us mentally. And a 300 for you. You already knew that, though. 3 days. Now, this girl looking like, oh, Jesus. Lord, that's why you don't fit. This her livelihood, y'all. She got her own business. She do hell. She got to shut it down for 3 days. Do you know what that could even do? What God be very well trying to teach you? How to simply rest. Your fingers may need rest, baby, trying to keep you from getting carpal tunnel. Because I'm telling you, he may very well be trying to give you some peace when people get on your nerve and they say, I don't like that. You say, well, I ain't doing it over. I'm done. And I want my money. You know how you is. Yeah. So, 3 days. You ready? Starting tomorrow at 6 a.m. You're sacrificing your livelihood of making some money, baby. Because you don't work for man. You work for yourself. When you do work for man, they get on your nerve. You quit because you make more money work for yourself than you do them anyway. You just do it because you be bored. So, tomorrow, what you going to sacrifice? Not to fuss at his daddy for 3 days. Starting tomorrow, you're not going to get an attitude. You're not going to fuss and say what he should or what he shouldn't do. You're not going to wear your pretty little head. And guess what's going to happen for you? Say peace. Peace right up in here. Because you ain't going to even be thinking about that. For 3 days. You could do that for 3 days. 3 days. I ain't saying not talk to him. Because you feel like that's the only way. Look, that's the only way I ain't going to be able to let him have. That's the only way I ain't gonna be able to do it, Pastor. If I don't talk to him, I ain't in nobody's business. They thoughts, they heart, I ain't in none of that. For 3 days, you know what? Leave me alone for 3 days. I just need a break. Give me a break. But you just trying to justify to help you to press. I got pressed through this one. Because for 3 days, that joker, whoa. I want to tell him something right now. I didn't. That's why I came to church, because I need to cool off. For real, I need some Jesus today. Yeah. 3 days. You can't get mad. If you do see yourself getting mad, you start praying for yourself. Anoint yourself. Everybody got some oil. I got a whole bunch of oil up here. I want to get to y'all. Y'all need to take some oil. You need some oil. Yeah. For real. 3 whole days. What are you going to sacrifice? What you going to sacrifice, Whitney? What you going to sacrifice? What you going to... What? 3 days. You... Oh. He say, that's all. 3 days. 3 days. Let me tell you what the Lord's saying. That's what you said. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord said. The Lord say for 3 whole days, start tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., you cannot give him your opinion. That's hard for her, right? Now, you know, I don't know. That's God, baby. It ain't me. He say, thank you, Father, Lord. See what you should do. And you do today. Stop giving your opinion because she don't know it all, do she? That, stop giving your opinion what you should do and then what you shouldn't do. And then that's because you keep doing that. If you did what I told you to do, then that wasn't such a... So that's why you got to cuss him out. Because you're always giving him his opinion and he won't do what you say do. You cannot control him. He the man, God. So for 3 days, you going to tell on him because she sure going to tell on you. Yes. Matt say he telling on you. 3 days. 3 days. Like yours, huh? Like yours. He like her start today. Sometimes we got to press. What he saying? I may not understand, Lord, why you want me not to get my opinion. But you know why? You know why he don't want you to get your opinion? Because your opinion causes you to lean to your own understanding and thinking and believing the reason why a thing did not happen is because it was not done the way that you want it to be done. So he trying to teach you in that. Everybody that's doing stuff, he trying to teach us not to depend on them heads. For some loot. He trying to teach us all something. You, not to, 3 days. For 3 days, what you not going to do? Say, for 3 days, I'm not going to get angry at none of my baby mamas. For 3 days, and you not getting angry, meaning if they say something or act a certain kind of way or even call you with their foolishness because they mouths. They call you with foolishness, I think, because they just know they can get on your nerves. Then you get angry. But you are not, because you know what God want to teach you? Self-control. He want to teach you self-control and what? My anger. All of us ain't got to go to anger management. We just got to give it over to the Lord for 3 days. 3 days, Chi-Chi, you can't buy no shoes. Look at what she said. Ooh, I was just looking at something. 3 days. Now, I ain't know nothing about her buying shoes. But for 3 days, starting tomorrow, 6 a.m., Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you can't buy another shoe until Thursday at 6, not 5:59. And you can't even look at a website for shoes. That's even what, now that's part of the pressing, ain't it? Now look, you hear me? That. Yeah, I'm going to start over again. I'm starting. 3 for you. Because of what? Selfishness. And greed. 3 for you. Because I know how you should do it. No more opinions. 3 days. And if you want to sacrifice for real without God telling you nothing, start today. 3 days for you. He confiscated your phone and you sure can't get on that computer. 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. Don't you let them women ruffle your feathers. That cause you to premeditate. Get back. All that. Don't. 3 days. Start today for you. To Thursday at 6 a.m., not 5:59. Don't even feed into it. When they call you and you feel yourself triggering, do this. Say, Could you hold on a minute? Let me call you right back. Now, and calling them right back don't mean the next second and don't mean that you're lying. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes, baby, we have to cool down. Don't let her be triggering you with her opinions. She don't know anything. No shoes. You can't look at your phone. You can't. When you pass by a shoe station, you can't even look over there. No shoes. You can't look on the website. You can't even say, oh, my 3 days up, I'm buying them. Mm-mm. No. No shoes. 3 days. Depressing. I'm afraid I ain't gonna be able to do that, Lord. But I'm sure gonna press and try Jesus. Oh Lord, you really getting me, ain't you? Now out of all the people, shoot, you talking about his phone, shoot. That's how I'm gonna make my money. That's shoot. He said, you got enough saved. But I said I wasn't gonna touch that because I was gonna get it. Well, don't touch it then, trust me. Let me get out your business and there ain't no closet. Oh Lord. That man. Ooh, that right there brought tears to my eyes, girl. Baby. There's one right here. Oh Jesus. That does not mean that you cut that man off from his kid for 3 days. Did you hear what I say? Well, Lord, that's the only way I ain't gonna be able to cuss him up. I let him have it. That and you going through too right now? You going through too? You just had a baby. You going through all up in here. Wait, 2, 3, 4 others. Yeah, that's gonna be oppressive. Y'all, did I read the scripture? What you gonna sacrifice? What's that? What you gonna sacrifice? Ooh. What you gonna sacrifice, Pamela? See, these things that the Lord wants us to sacrifice is just to teach us some things. It's teaching us something. It is not just for to see if you're going to do it. Let me go back and read that scripture. I ain't forgot about y'all too. Please know that. Let me go back and read that scripture. Brother, and I counted not myself to have apprehended. And apprehended meaning something that you know clear, that you understand. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So it's a pressing in that thing. This is what he said to Abraham. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord. These are those promises that you pressing towards that prize. Look. For because thou hast done this thing, that thing I asked you to sacrifice, that thing I asked you to stop doing, that person I asked you to walk away from, that situation I asked you to forget about, that person I asked you to forgive, that because you've done that one thing, and has withheld thy son, thy only son. You did not stop. You, because you do that one thing and I do that here. Because I told you not to do it. Because you pressed and did it anyway. This is what I'm going to do for you. See, because you think and believe that if if I sneak and do this one here, sneak and do that one here, then Lord, you may not know. Yeah, I know you're gonna know because I can't hide from you. But Lord, I was trying to press and I was trying to stop. But I said, don't do it at all. If you don't do not nail head, not one. I swear to you that in blessing, I will bless you. So you ain't got to worry about the money you didn't make. Because I'm going to bless you. And in the midst of me blessing you, I'm going to multiply. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Now, what seed is he talking about? He ain't just talking about your children, but how many seeds you done sowed in doing his. Imagine him multiplying it as the sands of the sea, all because you didn't do a head. Say Tesla. Baby! I'm just saying, dog. Because you sacrificed and didn't do it, I'm not going to just bless you, but I'm going to multiply you in blessing you that you ain't going to be able to count it because there's going to be so many of it. I'm going to multiply it like that. Just imagine you ain't trying to do your business, baby, for 3 days. Woo! It's going to be hard not to do stuff, ain't it? But just imagine the multiplication in it. Just imagine how God will multiply some things for you simply by you sacrificing your own peace. I'm not fit to keep sacrificing my peace for the people and the folks. So guess what? I'm going to hold on to my peace. So when they call me talking all that gibberish, that I don't know why I heard gibberish. I don't even use that word. When they get to talking to me about our girl, if he multiply you with any more shoes, baby, you gonna need to build your own storage. Cause you ain't got room not no more. Don't you sit near another shoe on top of another box in your room. Cause your closet already overflowed. Shoe rags can't fit. She did just. Can I just say stop? Just stop. Because you don't even wear half of them. You ain't got them many feet. Put an S on feet. It already say feet. Feet, foot. What the world? Wearing one time and then don't even wear. Oh, I forgot I had these. Yeah, because you bought some more just like them. I'm wearing these today. Sure, let me change my outfit. Some of the boxes got dust on them. What you call them? Lint balls. Dust balls. What is the dust balls? I know I had my granddaughter. I told her, I said, grab every shoebox out of every closet in. Oh, y'all should see all them shoeboxes. I say, I ain't buying another shoe. Did you hear me? I'm trying. What's that shoe you with? Chopping. I ain't even ask her.
Don't even give a
ball. You can't get two in keys. See, listen to me, y'all. The things that we sacrifice. The things that we sacrifice, we think that it's a big thing when really it's a little thing when God want to just bless us with some more. We don't want to give away what we got. I only wore them one time. Shoot, that you ain't even wearing them now. You wore them that one time. Get some of that mess away because you ain't going to do nothing but go buy some more anyway. What the world? I bet you if we go up under a bridge to the homeless and give out 30 pair of your shoes, you wouldn't notice that they gone. You would. What about you? What? Somebody could fit them.
I have to try to love
this see what I'm saying? And then we don't want to give them away because they so cute. And they don't even make these no more. And I know. I got all them shoes. I'm getting them away. I promise you I am. I ain't putting my foot back in not near one of them. Some of them I ain't even had my foot in the beginning for just try my own. And, ooh, I like them. What the world? I'm giving them away. I don't give a rest till when I'm going to sacrifice my selfishness in giving away my shoes, baby, because I love my shoes and my purses. Ooh. I'm giving that foolishness away. I bet you I have more room in my closet. I bet you. I know it. When I had them put outside, I didn't even know that closet was that big. No, you got so many shoes in there. I did not know that closet was that big. She pulled them to. That's why you ain't noticed, because you done piled them up with shoes all the way up to the ends of the clothes. That, you know, don't you? Got the racks on the walls, on the doors, on the every door. No, I'm throwing away them shoe holders too. So I won't restock. Because we restock. That's what we do. When sometimes we have to not constantly buy stuff and for our houses to enhance it because we think it's cute either. You become a hoarder, and that could be new stuff. And then when it get too cluttery and that junk start getting on your nerve, you mad because you bought it. Stop buying it then. But it was cheap. Okay. It was on sale. Should be regular price $100. I got it for $20. Okay. Open some of the boxes. Don't buy nothing else for your house, okay? Say 3 days. 3 days. You're not going to look when you go to these stores, when you go to shop at Walmart, go to a Walmart neighborhood. And then you can't see all the extra stuff. My daughter told me, she said, Mama, stay at the clearance departments. Girl, because they start going, I'm looking for the clearance. Where the clearance? Because I know I'm going to find something good. And if it ain't on clearance, I ain't buying it anyway. Ain't it? And then you look and you, I'm giving away some of them clothes. Yes, I'm giving them away. They still got price tags on them. I bought them, ain't warm, and done had them for over a year or two. And the price tag's still on. No more. I'm raising my hand for 3 days. I'm not buying absolutely nothing. Not even food. I've been giving away deep freezers to keep me from keep buying. I had 5 of them. I'm down to 3 now. Ooh, I'm doing good and I still want to give away another one. Got emptied out. I've been emptying them. Giving away. I'm not buying absolutely nothing. For 3 days. Do y'all know how hard that is for me? For 3 days, I'm not going to buy nothing. I'm not looking on no computer. I ain't going even in a store. Why tempt my own self for failure? So don't tempt yourself. When you know they calling you for to do your hair, don't even answer. That's temptation. Shoot, they want their hair done. That's $300 this style they want. Don't check your email. Oh, you ain't got no phone. Don't let them use your phone and don't let them get on your computer. Change your password for 3 days. Yeah, bro. Yeah. 6 a.m. For you. For them, for these. No. Nah. You start now. She was like, oh, let me go on there right quick. He go. That's all I'm saying. You got 3 days. So she got notices, baby, that she get notices on her phone when something gonna say. Shut it down. Shut it. 3 days. 3 days. 3 whole days. He said he's going to bless you and multiply you because you did not withhold that sacrifice. You finna say everybody in here sacrificing something. So in the midst of your sacrifice, to be in expectation for what? A blessing and a multiplication of what? That blessing. What are we going to sacrifice? We don't want to sacrifice absolutely none. We don't even want to sacrifice our time, do we, Joshua? They ain't going to do nothing. Get on my nerve. I don't even know why I'm going over here, but I'm only going because of my son. But it's sacrificing that peace again. Y'all see what I'm saying? If it weren't for my daughter, boy, and they ain't doing nothing but teaching them how to be just like them, greedy. I'm sorry, I'm in your business. But they try to use her for to get me to do this, because she learned that. They teaching her. Just so that you can know that I know what you're going through. I just saw that thing so quick and just clear. What the world? She only doing what she know is what she see, what she hear, and what she is taught. Now, what you gonna sacrifice? She's like, "Oh, it's just so much. It's just so much." Ooh. The Lord said, "You can't eat for 3 days because you're so greedy." And that's the one thing she loved the most. So start tomorrow at 6 a.m. until Wednesday at 6 p.m. You can't eat nothing. That's a fast. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So in your fasting, what you're supposed to do? The Lord been having me tell you to study that stuff. So I ain't got to teach you right now on Sunday that he been trying to tell me to teach you. Come on now. So we all got some sacrifices that we got to make for the sake of what? Our own selves. Oh, that's going to be hard for you, Whitney, to shut it down and not give your opinion. Every time she give her opinion, mark it. Because every time when you come and tell me and I bring you your phone, when you come and when you show me, well, Pastor, she messed up 4 times. That's going to be 4 extra days you got to do. You talking about some present. Baby, it's a reality and a struggle, ain't it, Chi-Chi? She said, unapp some stuff. Uninstall some stuff. She said, because she know it's going to be hard for her. So she got to set her mind. We got to prepare our minds for some stuff. It exactly. So y'all need yellow sheets of paper and red pens. Come on. Get them some water too. Yellow sheets of paper and red pens. You say 3 days. You can't look. You can't go. She said, "I was just finna redo it." Girl, it's only been like that for 2 years. You just getting sick and tired of looking at the same stuff. That's me too. That's why I be giving away. So I be like, you know what? You want this here? Take this. Because I already got it in my mind. I'm fitting by. And I'm going to say it again. For 3 days, I ain't buying absolutely nothing. Now, look, I was like, oh, when I get out of church today, I'm going to go and treat myself. I can't even buy me nothing to eat. I'm going to go home and eat. And look, I got some gumbo in there I cook. I baked some chicken and made some macaroni and cheese yesterday with some stuff. I'm going home. I'm going to have to eat.
Wait a minute.
You got
And
the pressing though, you got to press through what you hear. What you hear, that it won't cause you to be hindered by what you believe. I believe I can be able to do this. I know I'm going to be able to do it. And if by chance I get ready to do it, bring it to my memory, Lord. Help us all in our memory right now, Lord, that you said, stop. Don't do it. Don't get mad. Don't. What? See, fool, you know what? You want some? Me, I cook some. She said, oh, you know what? I say for the women's forum, I'm gonna make some gumbo this week. For the women's forum for Thursday. I got you some. He told me. Yeah. Listen when I sit up here and tell you. Sacrifices. He gave all of us a task on today, y'all. Anything that you know is going to be a struggle or hard for you right now, you need to be writing that thing down, asking the Lord to help you. Asking Him to give you the strength to go through. Asking Him to give you the instructions on what to do. And then if by chance you want to resist it, you ask Him, Lord, help me, Father God, to be more obedient. That I may be able to. He said, because if you are willing and obedient. So I'm willing. Is any and everybody in here willing to make that sacrifice that the Lord said? If you're willing to make that sacrifice, then do it. Don't wait. Start doing it. Let's sacrifice and do it a day earlier. That's what I'm doing. I'm a sacrifice, and I'm not going to go across the water like I wanted to and eat them crab legs. No, because I got crab legs at home in my refrigerator. I can cook some. Lord, please help me not to lie in the sanctuary. Jesus is about starting today, and I want to start tomorrow because He want to go eat some with me, God. We can all go eat some crab legs. And some crawfish would be the best. Glory! Lord, you know the present. I'm praying for us now. You know, the present. That, and we all hungry. Don't nobody eat before they come to church, at least I don't. Some folk get off of work, no, they ain't eat nothing before they came to church. He said we're supposed to start tomorrow. See, you know what? Lord, touch me in my mind, Jesus. I ain't talking about nobody else, Lord. I'm talking about me. You She said, now you got to pray for all of us in our mind. So for real, y'all, we all got to make this sacrifice unto the Lord because we can't withhold these things from Him. No hair, no arguing, no opinions, no shoes, no buying none for your house, no buying none, period. No fussing and getting your attitude all wishy-washy, no working on the computers and the phones, and no withholding anything from the Lord financially. Now, y'all do know that He is just showing us the things that we love to do. Is you actually going to sacrifice that thing that you love to do? Girl, I mean, you love to let them have it. You love to let them have it. Now, don't you see that? It ain't that you do it intentionally, but they force you, huh? Yeah, you're going to justify your joy in letting them have it because they be withholding them babies from you. So you it ain't no joy only because you don't want them to withhold them babies. But you enjoy letting them jokers have them. Ooh, I was going to say something else. Boy, don't you be saying that. Put coals of fire on his tongue and burn it up, Lord. That girl's struggling. And don't you go to bed miserable tonight trying to eat up everything to store up for 3 days because it don't work. It don't work. It don't work. We got to prepare our minds for this stuff, y'all. We got to prepare our minds for this stuff. Because Matt's still back there struggling. He like, Lord, he say, he sacrificed that. Listen, he willingly hurried up, went in his pocket, turned the phone off, and gave it to him. So he was willing as well as obedient. Not only is God going to bless, He's going to multiply and do some things for him. The things that he thought that he could get taken care of and do within them 3 days, God is going to take care of it. And when them 3 days is over with, He's going to see some results. And guess what? God going to get the glory because He wasn't able to do absolutely nothing. See, we be looking at it as a bad thing. It's a good thing because God, I bet you're going to save some money in them 3 days. How about that? bet you you're going to save some money in them 3 days. I bet you you will. See, it is us. It is us and what God is saying about these sacrifices. What are we really going to sacrifice in these 3 days? 3 days. So what you going to sacrifice for your 3 days? Jazz. Jasmine. Said, what are you talking about, Pastor? I don't even know what you're talking about. So how about you sacrifice something for 3 days that's hard for you not to. It's hard for you not to. And God been telling everybody. You may be thinking about it, but he gonna tell you what to sacrifice. He wants you to sacrifice not allowing your emotions to because you're crying too much. You've been crying too much. Don't nobody know. And crying, it don't always mean tears. Crying can cause you to have fears. It can cause you to have doubts. So what you are going to sacrifice is not going over and beyond for others. For 3 days. Could you do that for 3 days? Well, I told them, start tomorrow at 6 a.m. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, into Thursday at 6 a.m. Stop obligating yourself for 3 days for others. Well, they got to go to work. How they going to get to work? You're not obligated to take them. You just do it because how else is they going to get there? What else is they going to do? What is that? These sacrifice. I bet you if you sacrifice, I'm not gonna bet, that's not, I guarantee you that if you take this, what he's saying, and sacrifice, I bet you your body will be so rested. And I mean you got 30 kids and just had another one. Your body will be rested. That's number 8, ain't it? As your body will be rested. Because y'all, she got grown kids. She got, you see what I'm saying? Teenage kids, adolescents, and newborns. So to sacrifice and put everybody else before you, that's something that you're going to have to press to do. It's going to be hard. Because I got to cook. I got to make sure they go to school. I got to... Woo, baby. It's just too... You're tired, Angel. Exhausting. But you can't stop. You can't stop. Well, if I let them take the car, Lord, and I say, well, what if something happened and I need it and they at work and I can't... It's just so much. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and the grown kids help as much as they can, and they could, yes. But still, they don't know. They don't know. So 3 days, sacrificing not to be obligated to nothing and nobody, just for 3 days. You think they can understand that? Anybody. I'm not just talking about the kids and the people. Do you think they can understand that? Somebody call you, you be like, you know what, I can't do that. Well, could you do it tomorrow? No, I'm not going to be available until Thursday. Do you think they can understand that? It's hard to even know whether or not they'll understand that. But the sacrifice that you're gonna make, do it triggers a fear. Huh. That's the name of the sermon, y'all. Fears, hopes, and sacrificing during the pressing. See, our fears is what prevent us from sacrificing some things. Because I'm afraid that if I stop buying a shoe, that shoe going on sale tomorrow. And it's normally $300, but I can get it for $150. I'm afraid that I'm going to miss that sale if I don't. But he wants you to sacrifice. See, these sacrifices that we have to make causes us to be afraid. Go ahead. Just petty. The Bible says we don't even supposed to do that. So you know, he just went, look, he wanted to mess up. So she can have an extra day or two. Because he wants you to stop doing it for life. But if he could get it for a few extra days, he'll be happy. Look, we're not going to intentionally do some things. That's just petty. So that sacrifice that we have to make, it causes us to be in a place of fear. Am I right or wrong? Yeah. Fear that they ain't going to... Yeah. You afraid that I... Ain't no lie. Ooh, Lord, I'm going to get dizzy. And I know you ain't. No, you won't. Read your Bible. Wash your face. Anoint yourself. Pray. He said, drink some water. He say juice. Well, Lord, you said no food. Shoot, if I drink some juice, at least that'll fill me up for a minute. No.
That was the thing. I said, I don't think so. She was trying to help me. I said, no food.
Well, I don't know. He just answered that question for you. He just answered that question. The Bible says that because Abraham did not withhold that sacrifice from him, God said, I promise you that I'm going to bless you. And in blessing you, I'm going to multiply some things for you. So just keep that in mind when you get ready to break your sacrifice. She's saying, is you going to forfeit it? You going to forfeit your blessing? Because he told me that I couldn't buy absolutely nothing for 3 days starting tomorrow. Do y'all know? Event not buying nothing for 3 days? You got to be kidding me, Jesus. What the what? So that mean I can't buy nothing? Yep, you can't buy nothing for nobody else either. That's buying something. When I do most of the shopping for my daughter and for my son, they be like, here, mama, here go the money. Here, mama, take my card. Hit it, and that, because they don't like doing it. But they know I love to shop. I shop for them. I said I was going to open me up a business. You need me to go grocery shopping for you? You know that? Because I love to shop. I love to shop. I won't give a rest to you what it's for or who it's for. Ask me to go shopping for you. I got you. When you say you want it, I'll be over there. Give me the money, give me your car, whatever you want. I'll bring you all receipts, baby. I don't steal. I just love to shop. And you're going to be, oh, that's all you spend? Yeah, because I do clearance and I'm a bargain shopper. Baby, how hard is it us not to do yellow sheets of paper and red pens? If you know that this sacrifice is going to be a struggle for you, you write that thing down and you ask the Lord to help you to get through it, to get past it, to get over it. It's just for 3 days. I'm going to turn my back to itty bitty. When I said 3 days, she was like, Pastor, you know how much money I can make in 3 days? You told me not to do no hair for 3 days. That's my livelihood. You know how much money I can make in 3 days? I'm finna be missing. He letting you know you love money. Is you going to sacrifice that money for his sake? You see what I'm saying? We got to look at this thing for our benefit and not just thinking that it's just you. You understand what I'm saying? Ooh, okay, Lord. What you teaching me how to bridle my tongue? Yes, Whitney. That's what he doing. So you want to cuss him out. You and Shaquille. Because you know Shaquille, you and Shaquille, baby, y'all don't get, y'all be letting them jokers have it. For real. So we not doing that. Everything that the Lord wants us to sacrifice, we're going to press and try to do. He said we got to forget those things behind us, so we're not going to keep doing what we normally do. He's trying to elevate us. He want to elevate us in him and not deflate us concerning him. Elevation or deflation is our choice. You could be choose to be elevated or deflated. It's really up to you. We got to stop doing what we want to do and allow God to be God. Y'all write this stuff down. Put it on the altar. When you get through, y'all, it's praying time. Come to the altar. Start praying for yourself as I get ready to pray for you.
I just want to write you a letter. I have to be very honest with you.
Right? Don't allow these fears and that unbelief to put you in a place of being doubtful. And y'all know before y'all leave, these newborns, I want to offer them up to the Lord and pray for them. Every time y'all bring me these new babies, this is what we do. Yellow sheets of paper, red pens, write these things down, put them on the altar. And then come to the altar and start praying for yourself as I pray with you. Because we don't know how. Jesus, touch God.
Wish I could see that this specimen will really work out for my good. You said it would.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.
But if you choose not to,
help us, Lord. Help us today, God. Dear God in heaven, it's a lot of things, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that is hard for us to sacrifice. Lord, it's a lot of things, Father God, that we just don't want to stop doing, don't want to give up, we don't want to walk away, we don't want to just see the faces, Father God. It causes us to get into a place of fear. But right now, Lord, we know that you know what is best for us. So help us to believe, God, that this is best for us. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we will not be in that place of degradation or segregation, that place of fear, Father, that's putting us in a place of thinking and believing, Father God, that it is not going to get any better. Lord, I'm asking you to open up our hearts and even our minds on today, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we will have the courage to face these things, Lord. You are trying to teach us and trying to show us these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because these things have a tendency, Father God, of overtaking us. These are the things, Father God, that we lift up higher than you. You said that we should not allow anything, Father God, to be above you. We should not exalt anything higher than you, Father God. We have exalted money, houses, cars, time, situations, people. Oh God, we have exalted so many things higher than you, Father God. But right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we are not going to obligate ourselves to anything and anybody but the sacrifice that you have allowed us to be able to sacrifice. We're going to sacrifice these things, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because we know who you are. We know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. We're not going to let the thought of us not having or the thought of not doing, Father God, to put us in a place of fear, because you are not a God of fear, but you are a God of power, love, and of a sound mind. So I'm asking you to touch us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, by your power, by your might, and by your spirit, Father God. I'm asking you to touch each and every individual up there on the altar, God. Touch them in their minds and even in their hearts, God. Prepare their minds, Father God, in order to do just what you want them to do, Father God. Let them be mindful, Father God, even if they slip, Father God, unaware or even aware of doing that thing, Father God, that they would turn, repent, and stop right then and there. Lord, let us consider, Father God, in the name of Jesus, any and everything that you have allowed us to know that we need to sacrifice, Father God, because we don't want to love anything or anybody higher than you, Father God. We don't want to put our trust in anything or anybody more than you, not even in our own self, because you said that if a man trusts in their own heart or their own ways, God, that we become a fool. And we don't want to be fools for nothing and nobody but you, Father God. So if it sounds foolish to others, Father God, that you got to sacrifice it things individually, Father God, let it be foolish to them, Father, but you know the struggle and what you are trying to get us to learn and accept within our own hearts concerning our own selves individually. So Lord, I'm asking you to help us on today. Dispatch your angels on our behalf that they may go before us and pave the way. Help us in our minds and our hearts that we will not lean to our own understanding, but Lord, give us the avenue and the way of escape that we need, Father God, that we may be able to understand. Deliver us from temptation, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we would not get into that place of thinking and believing that you will just forgive us and become substance abusers. We don't want to abuse your mercy and your grace, Father God, but we want to live upright and holy and do things your way because you know what is best for us. So, Lord, I'm asking you to give us a heart of acceptance on today. Let us accept for just for what it is. Let us accept these things, Father God, and not turn them away. Lord, I'm asking you right now to pave the way for us on today, Father God. As you have already done through your son, Jesus, let us be able to recognize the God and teach us, Lord, how to receive every blessing that you have already designed for us, Lord. We may not be able to understand, Father God, the reason for or apprehend it or even have a clear idea of why you want us to do these things or why we got to go through this certain other test. But whatever it is, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to give us some solidity. I'm asking you to anchor us in this thing, God. I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to tear down any and every wall of doubt, God, that causes us to think and believe, Father God, that this is or has to happen. Lord, I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would give us the peace that we need, that we may be able to receive every blessing. I'm asking you to do it even now, God, in your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated if you want to. And in you going to your seat, you trusting and believing any and everything that God has simply for you. Because it may not be easy. These sacrifices and these tests is not easy. But they are doable. We just got to want to do it in our heart. You got to be willing and obedient. So are you willing to do it? And don't be afraid. Because God is trying to elevate us and take us to a whole new territory, a whole new horizon, a whole new place, a whole new dimension. He want to take us to a whole new way of thinking, y'all. Or even accepting some stuff. Because we be accepting or expecting so many things in a certain way. When God is trying to do it his way, we have to do it his way, y'all. We have to. I love you guys so much, and I hope that it was something that I said that will help you to know and understand that what he's got us sacrificing is become exalted in our lives. And he's letting us know that we love these things, these situations, these people. It could be anything. It just does not matter. It's because God is a God of versatility. So please understand that these sacrifices that he wants us to make is for our own good. And don't be afraid of what the outcome going to be or what somebody going to say or what they're going to think or how they're going to act. Okay, God is trying to teach you. What is he trying to teach you? Not to be a man pleaser or a woman pleaser or a people pleaser. That's another fear. Y'all need to write y'all fears down. Write them down. Put that mess on the altar too. Because we ain't any fears. Write them down and put them on the altar. We don't want to be afraid of nothing because God is not a God of fear. You're not going to, don't be afraid you're missing out on no money, no time, no, you're missing out on nothing. You're not missing out on nothing. Absolutely nothing. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for his word on today. Y'all write down them fears too. And so when y'all get, when we get ready to dismiss and all that, y'all can bring it up here and put it on the altar. Anything that you're afraid to face, anything that you're afraid to address, anything that you're afraid to walk away from, anything that you're afraid to stop doing, anything that you're afraid to do, write it down. This is a whole new horizon. This is a new year. We're not taking nothing from our past into our future. I'm not. I claim my new. I love you guys so much. I hope it was something that he said and reiterated today that causes us to consider and reconsider and then consider again. This is a new horizon. Tell yourself that this is the new for me. Come on, y'all. This is the new for me. I'm approaching everything in a new, with a new attitude, a new perspective, a new thought. My thoughts is even going to be new. What I used to think, I'm not going to think that. I'm going to think positive. I'm not going to be afraid. That ain't my future. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Jesus. I see y'all writing. Keep writing down all these fears. I'm not going to be afraid. So this, I got a phone call over the weekend, and this young lady, the Lord had gave me some things that to tell her about having a baby and getting remarried and all that different other stuff. And so maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, she let me know that she was pregnant. And so I was so excited for her. I said, did the Lord tell you? I said, not only that everything that the Lord told you is going to come to pass. She called me the day before yesterday. And she called me on FaceTime and she put her hand up like this. And she was showing me she was engaged. I said, did the Lord tell you that you were going to get remarried? I said, everything that the Lord had told you, he is doing it for you. All we got to do is claim our new. I said, do not, this is what he had me to tell her. When he had me to tell her about the prize, the promises that she pressing towards, I told her, I said, don't take nothing from your past into your future. Don't allow what you experience to hinder what you have not yet experienced. See, you afraid that it's going to be a repetitive cycle. So this is a new horizon for you. You got to open up your heart and accept. I'm not going to be alone. I'm not going to this. I'm not going to that. I accept the timing that you have for me, God. And so that way I can receive it. See, because we want stuff right quick. I accept your timing so that I may receive your blessing. Which you are going to what? Multiply. I just preached that. I just preached it. Spoke it, taught it, whatever you want to say. Listen. Listen to me. Let this be your new today. That's all I'm preaching in the month of January. That new thing. This a whole new territory. So in you going to another territory, it's going to cause you to be in a place of discomfort. It's uncomfortable not having your phone in your pocket. On vibrate. It's uncomfortable because you got to uninstall some apps. I can't go to the store and buy absolutely nothing. That's sure is uncomfortable for me. We all got some discomforts. But being afraid not to do it because you think you're going to miss something. That ain't what we're doing. That's not what we're doing, y'all. This is just the beginning of your new beginning. Did you hear me? This is the beginning of your new beginning. And I say this again. I simply believe God. If he tell me to sacrifice that thing, and not only is he going to bless me, but he's going to multiply the blessing. I believe God. I'm not going to sacrifice it and then deflate what I believe. Ha. I'm going to sacrifice it and let him elevate and not allow myself to deflate. That's that non-belief, that's that doubt, that's that, oh, I shouldn't have. No, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. So write down all your fears. Write them down. We're going to get ready to get our tithes and our offering. Anybody need any envelopes, please raise your hands. I don't know if y'all got cold water. To all the people that got their hearing ready. I don't know if y'all need cold water, but my show ain't thirsty. I don't know if she gave y'all something or not, or she gave y'all something. Envelopes, raise your hand. She got the envelopes for y'all. I love you guys so, so much. So I said, I was going to sacrifice and start doing it today, Lord, because you said we got to start tomorrow at 6 a.m. until 6 p.m., 6 a.m. on Thursday. So I was going to sacrifice and start doing it today. And so when I went to go grab that table, all I could think about is Joshua say, we can go eat it today. We ain't got the, we can, he said tomorrow. He said not to, I said, Lord, deliver us from temptation. Lord, deliver me from temptation. I mean, seriously. Because that's tempting.
It's something called the Red Sea.
He said start tomorrow, sure. I'm going.
The Red Sea's in front of them.
Now, why they come back up when he already. I'm not trying to deflate my sacrifice. We're going to have to do that next Sunday.
They feel trapped.
I'm going to go home and eat some of that gumbo. Yeah. I'm gonna go home and eat some of that macaroni and cheese and that baked chicken. I'm gonna go eat that. How about that? I love you guys so much. If I can't be an example, I don't even know why I'm even stepping up here. I gotta do it. I gotta do it. I ain't going nowhere but home. And the only thing extra I'm taking with me is Matt's phone. That's the only thing I'm taking extra. I ain't taking nothing extra with me but Matt's phone. That's the only thing I'm taking.